Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. John Patience, a professor in applied swine nutrition with Iowa State University. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Patience.
Well, thanks for having me on, Bruce. It's good talking to you again.
As part of the 2018 Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium, slated for November 14th and 15th in Saskatoon, you'll be discussing the topic legislation, consumerism, export, complicating the life of the nutritionist. First of all, a little bit of background. What is the primary role of the nutritionist in the pork sector? With what tools does the nutritionist work, and with what goals in mind?
Oh, great question, Bruce. That's a really good question. But the nutritionist fundamentally is responsible for feeding the pig at the least possible cost, while providing all of the nutrients that the pig requires, that ensures the production of a wholesome and tasty carcass, and does it in a way that is, minimizes the impact on the environment, and where possible, even may help to improve the well-being of the pig. So it's a very diverse responsibility. That's what I just described is at the gross level. At the more specific level, basically what the nutritionist does is, on the one hand, look at what the requirements are by the pig in order to grow quickly and efficiently and produce that good quality carcass, minimize the effect on the environment, and maximize animal well-being. So you look at the requirements on the one hand, and that'll be requirements when I'm referring to is things like energy, amino acids or protein, vitamins and minerals. So that's on the one hand. And then on the other hand, the nutritionist looks at the ingredients that they have available to them. So is it wheat or barley, maybe field peas, canola meal, could be flaxseed, could be any number of ingredients, byproducts, like DDGs and wheat middlings and so on, and then brings those two together and brings the ingredients together in a blend or proportion that meets those requirements. And as I mentioned, does so at the lowest possible cost. So it's a fairly challenging responsibility, because if you make mistakes, you can cost the farm a lot of money. If you do it right, you can save the farm a lot of money. Now, we are increasingly becoming familiar with what we call the functional properties of ingredients that we choose. So by way of background, traditionally, we have selected ingredients on the basis of the nutrients that they bring to the table. So the energy content, the amino acid content, the calcium, phosphorus, other minerals, vitamins, and trace minerals. And that's really how we have traditionally evaluated ingredients. But more recently, we're coming to understand that ingredients not only supply nutrients, but they also can have an impact on the health of the gut of the pig. So that, for example, we can select some ingredients that might help the pig to resist certain infections, or we might inadvertently select ingredients that might make a pig more susceptible to certain kinds of infections. Now, this is a relatively new area of investigation. We have an awful lot to learn before we can become really adept at doing this, but we are getting enough information that we can start to consider this in the way we formulate diets for pigs.
In terms of legislation, what are the key factors that have influenced legislative changes? How have those changes complicated the task of the nutritionist, and what have been the results there?
Europe has imposed more legislative changes on the industry, but here in the United States, and I believe that the situation is the same in Canada, is that pork producers now are using less antibiotics in the feed. And they're doing that because of new regulatory requirements from the government. And these regulations specify, for example, here in the U.S., that antibiotics can no longer be used for growth promotion purposes. So that's a historical anecdote now, because it no longer happens. We can only use antibiotics for the purposes of treating specific diseases in specific circumstances. And in this country, they're called veterinary feed directives. So a veterinarian must prescribe the medication and must have a purpose in mind for prescribing that medication. Now, interestingly, in this country, the use of antibiotics had actually declined prior to this legislation becoming law. And so in the year prior to this change, antibiotic use in livestock was already in decline. And I think we haven't seen the numbers yet, but I'm pretty confident that we're going to see further decline. The focus is on those antibiotics which are used in human medicine. And so there's a real attempt on the part of the industry, even without the legislation, but certainly supported by the legislation, to substantially reduce the quantity of antibiotics that are used in human medicine for purposes in animal agriculture. And as a consequence of that, then there's tremendous amount of research going on to identify, develop, and improve alternatives to antibiotics. And so we're seeing more and more pigs down here being produced in what we call antibiotic-free production systems. And we're seeing that in Canada as well. But that would be the biggest, most recent change from a legislative point of view.
How have nutritionists adapted to these legislative changes, using what techniques or tools, and just how effective have they been in adapting?
As nutritionists, we've done a number of things. I think the biggest target for this, by the way, is the newly weaned pig, because they're the ones that are most susceptible to digestive upset, just like human infants are. And so that's where a lot of the focus is being directed. And in that respect, we're looking at a pretty wide range of ingredients that might be used as components of the diet to help the pig maintain a healthy intestinal tract. And this work is ongoing. We're doing a lot of work in this area. Many, if not most, of the land-grant universities in the U.S. that do research in swine nutrition are doing work in this area. I know Canadian universities are doing work in this area as well. And it would include the feed additives that I'm referring to would include things like DFMs, what we call DFMs, direct-fed microbials. In human nutrition, I think they're still referred to as probiotics. We don't use that term in animal nutrition anymore. So direct-fed microbials or probiotics would be used. Ingredients that have prebiotic properties. What we mean by that is if when we put them in the diet, they will tend to encourage the growth and proliferation of what we'll call the good bugs, things like lactobacillus and bifidobacteria, those bacteria that are associated with a healthy gut. And at the same time, because they're encouraging those bacteria to grow, they are inhibiting the growth of bacteria that are associated with ill health, such as pathogenic E. coli. So those would be examples. There's others. Essential oils are sometimes used. There's really kind of a whole array of ingredients that are being looked at. And so far, none of them are perfect replacements. In fact, none of them are really replacements for antibiotics. But more and more as our science becomes more sophisticated, we're finding more and more products that are proving to be beneficial to the pig. So in terms of how effective this approach is, I would say that it is somewhat effective, but it's not as effective as we need to be. And we need to continue to do a lot more research in this area in order to get to where we can be very comfortable and confident in selecting certain ingredients that will not only improve the health of the young pig and the gut of the young pig, but also will avoid any disturbance or ill health in the intestinal tract of the young pig.
How are consumer demands or expectations changing, and why? And how have nutritionists needed to adapt to those changes?
The consumer changes are coming at us from different levels, Bruce, and from different directions. They may come directly from consumers. They may come through the grocery level, where people are buying their groceries and the demands they're placing on grocery stores. They may come from restaurant trade and fast food sector. And so they are all trying to respond to the consumer. And so therefore the nutritionist has to respond to those demands as well. I think the antibiotic-free is one of the changes that has been the largest, just as in legislation. It's also significant on the consumer directive side of things. The one factor that hasn't really affected nutritionists per se, but has been a big factor, and that has been consumers demonstrating that they like to feel a little closer to where their food comes from. Some people will invest more in that than others. So the best example of that would be farmers markets, where the consumer can go and often talk to the person who's raised the pig or raised the cattle or produced the vegetables and fruits and so on. And so they're very close to their supplier. But even at the more traditional retail level, there's attempts, I think, to try to give consumers more information on where food comes from. And in that respect, then, the nutritionist plays a role because they can provide information on how these pigs, for example, are being fed. What are they being fed? What are they not being fed? And that can play into this information pathway that's being developed between the producer of food and the consumer of food.
What are we seeing in terms of expectations from foreign customers or consumers of pork, and what challenges have those dynamics created?
Yes, the export market is an interesting one, Bruce, because it operates at so many different levels. And one, you know, to be very clear, one is never sure whether a demand of an export market is put in place because that's the demand of that country and their consumers, or what is being put in place essentially as a non-tariff trade barrier. And so that can frustrate our producers, because both in Canada and United States, the export market is very, very important to us. And so in some places, the antibiotic-free is very, very important. So that plays into the export market. Sometimes it will involve things like the degree of marbling in the carcass, which the nutritionist really can't do very much about. That will be handled more on the genetic side of things. But there can be impacts on the kind of fat, whether it's more of a pure white color or an off-white color, whether it's what we might call a soft fat or an unsaturated fat versus a saturated fat, a hard fat. And those are certainly demands that the export market may place on our producers and our exporters. And that is certainly an area where nutritionists can play a role by influencing the type of fat that exists in the carcass. Now, a really good example, which doesn't apply to swine, but would apply to our colleagues on the poultry side, the color of the egg yolk is quite related to geographical location and market, and nutritionists can certainly play a role in the color of the egg yolk because that is substantially influenced by what we feed to the laying hen.
What has all of this meant in terms of productivity and why, and what have been the implications of that?
I would say that the impact on the nutritionists has been to make our lives considerably more complicated, because we now have to consider more aspects of nutrition than would have been the case previously. There no doubt have been impacts on the removal or reduced use of antibiotics, although I think that has been managed fairly well through changes in animal management. And so that the real implication of that has been a substantial expansion in the amount of production, which is antibiotic-free, although obviously the vast part of production is still using antibiotics, at least in that early period with the young pig, not just to maintain performance, but also to maintain the well-being of the little pig. So I think it's hard to put a real hard and fast number, a specific number on that question right now, Bruce. We're still finding our way because these changes, many of them are relatively new, but I would say it has certainly complicated the life of the nutritionist. It's complicated the life of the farmer and the pork producer, and it's complicated the life of the packer and processor as well, because different markets are demanding different things.
Thank you very much. Our guest has been Dr. John Patience, a professor in applied swine nutrition with Iowa State University. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.